Hi, you guys. Welcome back to the Imani Talks podcast. You're here with your host, Imani Talks. Oh my gosh. So I have, don't even get me started, okay? I have such an exciting episode. I have been waiting for content like this, and I have a very special guest with us on the podcast, Mrs. Brittany Gold.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi, how
Thank
are you
doing?
Thank
you for having me. I'm all nervous. I love you.
Don't be nervous. Don't be nervous. We're just having a convo, girl. So yes. Tell us a little bit about what you do, Brittany.
Okay. So I'm a retired Army vet, which a lot of people don't know. I spent 14 years in the U.S. Army.
Oh, wow.
So I'm retired now officially. I've been a YouTube content creator for 9 years, social media content creator. I've worked in marketing. You know, juggled many hats, entrepreneurship. Not much I haven't done.
Okay.
On the positive side of the world.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a little bit about me. Now I'm just going to, I'm looking forward to being a stay-at-home mom and a content creator. So.
Okay.
Yes.
Definitely. Okay, so I'm really excited, you guys, that I have Brittany on because I was just watching a little bit of her YouTube earlier today to get like a good idea of who Brittany is. And I just totally fell in love with her story because I told you guys season 3 is going to be focused on marriages and I'm going to be talking to the wives, of course. And Brittany just recently got married. You said it's been less than a year for you guys.
Yes. We're in
still
our first
newlyweds.
Year. Newlyweds.
Yeah. How's it been so far?
It's been good. It's challenging, but it's been really good. Blessing. Okay. It's been a blessing.
Okay, seriously. Perfect. On my Patreon, you guys go and follow the Patreon, patreon.com/ImaniTalks. I had a conversation with my co-host Shorty Mack. And we were talking about how we want to date differently, right? Because if what you're doing ain't working, what's the harm in doing something different, right? And so I really love Brittany's story because she did things exactly the way that me and Shorty were talking about. And when I had the episode come out with me and Shorty, there was a lot of, you know, it caused a lot of, you know, conversation, let's say, particularly around the way that we date as a society. And the men were saying, okay, so basically, Shorty was saying, I'm not going to have another boyfriend. I'm going to date. I'm going to be courted. And when he knows, he knows. And a lot of people thought that that was extremely unrealistic because there's a worldly way of doing things,
yeah.
A worldly view. The worldly view would say, no, I'm going to have a girlfriend. We're going to live with each other 1 to 2 years. You know, we'll get married maybe. But, you know, we're having sex. We're doing the whole enchilada.
Yeah.
We probably will have kids before we get married. You know, the whole thing. That's the worldly way of doing things. And we are seeing that that's not working out. That's not working out.
At all.
Because why are so many of our marriages ending in divorce? And then a lot of the marriages that we enter into, we shouldn't even be doing it in the first place.
Hello.
So I really like Brittany's story. So let's just get into it, you guys. So I really liked how you were talking about how of a short engagement, I guess, before you met your husband until you guys walked down the aisle. So
yes.
How much like of a time was that?
We were engaged for like 3 days.
Wow.
Yes. That's what people don't know. I've never said that before publicly. We were engaged for 3 days. So by the time when we got engaged, we were already planning our wedding.
Yeah.
So we already knew we were going to get married. Mm-hmm. And shout out to Shorty and shout out to you because I did exactly that. I got to a point, I was 34. I said, look, I don't need no more boyfriends. I'm in my 30s. I don't need no more boyfriends. And I wanted to do things God's way. And my husband and I, we talk about that on my YouTube channel. But I told him, I was like, hey, I'm ready to be a wife. I want to, you know, get married. I'm ready for my husband, but I'm not going to date, you know. And He was like, well, how does that work? I said, well, God is going to tell my friend when it's time that I'm his wife. And we did just that. So I want to encourage any women out there to think that the world is going to tell you no. Most men in the world are not going to understand that. That's why you got to align with a Christian man,
exactly.
An equally yoked man. Because if a man is walking the way God is telling him to walk, what is the difference between boyfriend and girlfriend and friendship? Like if you're not having sex, if you're not engaging in intercourse, sleeping together, living together, vacations, like what is the difference between friendship and
there is no difference.
There's no difference. And so I made a rule for myself and
definitely.
It worked out.
A lot of people just feel comforted in the title of boyfriend and girlfriend because I think deep down, especially in the Black community, a lot of women don't think that they will ever reach marriage.
Mm.
They don't think so. So they settle for being a baby mother or they settle for being a long-term girlfriend because they don't really see marriages that often.
Mm-hmm.
And they think, okay, if I'm never going to get that, then I got to get something.
Right.
And they settle for being the live-in girlfriend and having the kids and everything. And then when 10 years goes by and he still ain't married you, you know, they have to reflect back on that and be like, well, that's not something that I required. So that's why he didn't do it. But, you know, that's a very worldly way anyway. You know, like you said, you got to get a man of God and he's not going to be confused by it.
Not at all.
It's going to already be the way that he wants to do things anyway.
Yeah.
So explain the no dating. So how did it come about to where you met?
Mm-hmm.
And if you guys weren't dating, where'd the engagement come? Explain that.
So we just got to know each other. Like, it was strictly from, we kept running into each other naturally. I wasn't looking. He wasn't looking. We met at my church, or at my church at the time was Embassy City. Shout out to y'all. And we just kept running into each other, and we have mutual friends. And so one day, it was like after, was it Soul Case? We had this thing where he's also a Christian rapper. So I got to see him perform.
Okay.
And I don't do the industry stuff. I don't do the ball players. I'm not an industry girl. I don't date around in Atlanta like that. So I'm anti-industry.
Mm-hmm.
But once I saw him perform and he gave his gift to God, and he was good too. Don't nobody want to be with no, nobody ain't good. But
yeah.
I saw that he was really a man of God, and he stood on what was important to me. That's when I started kind of being interested. And once we actually had an initial conversation and we exchanged numbers and we went over that, the very first conversation we had is like, I said, why are you dating? I always tell all my girls, I have a wife prep university, and I tell my girls, before you even give a man your number, before you get too serious, first date, you need to know why this man is dating. What does he want? And once we established that we both wanted to be married, we both wanted the same thing, we exchanged numbers, and we just got to know each other.
Yeah.
Like, strictly friends. We would hang out. We would meet up. We would go eat. We would go hang. We would do dating, like, things, but we stayed outside the house. We didn't do any front hugs. We did a lot of church hugs, no mm-hmm. kissing, no touching, until we were confirmed that it was okay for us to be together, or that our union was going to glorify God.
Yes.
And once that happened, then we moved forward with the, okay, let's talk about getting married. Let's talk about rings. Let's talk about all of the, you know, stuff. And then he proposed. We got married. Our courtship was probably a few months.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like 3-4 months max.
Yeah.
Okay.
Max. Like, it was like that.
So what do you say to people that say that's not long enough to get to know someone?
I think it depends. I think it depends on your maturity. I think it depends on what you want. If I would have been in my 20s, no. Like, I was not ready to be anybody's wife in my 20s because I didn't understand the sacrifices that you make as a wife. I didn't understand the spiritual ramifications of being a wife. Like, once you're in a covenant and you're not in the world, the enemy lets you do whatever you're doing when you're sinning, right? That's freedom. That's why people say, hey, when we get engaged, there's turmoil. When you get married, there's turmoil, because you're under spiritual attack. So if you're not equipped for that, if you're not ready for that, if you're not ready to pray through things with somebody, if you're not ready to not be selfish, to put your needs sometimes second, and it's not all about the woman, it's not all about the wife, it's not happy wife, happy life, it's happy spouse, happy house.
Mm.
And so if you're not willing to sacrifice, commit, submit to the authority of God, your husband submitting to God, and you submit to your husband, but it's not a dictatorship.
Exactly.
If you're not ready to really walk with someone, then it's okay to say, hey, I'm not ready yet. Mm-hmm. I was not ready in my 20s. Yeah. I was not ready at 32.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready at 33, but 34 I was.
Yeah.
So I think if we would have been younger, if we wouldn't have been in our purpose, we each have an individual God-driven purpose. If we wouldn't have known that, if we weren't financially stable individually, there were a lot of boxes we checked, worldly boxes, like, okay, yeah, we can do this together. So okay. We were older, more mature, we were ready. Again, if you're not ready, it's okay. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. You're just not ready for that. Yeah. And that's okay.
So you think it was more advantageous to get married a little bit older because, you know, there's also that stigma of women want to get married before they hit 30, mm-hmm. you know? So for you, it was like, I wasn't rushing it because I wanted to make sure that all that stuff was behind me. Like, you think it's more like, what are the pros and cons of getting married younger mm-hmm. or getting married a little older?
I think it depends on the woman. Like, I follow a creator named Maya Graves. She's 21 and is killing motherhood, killing. She's on her stuff. Like, she's 21, 2 kids, wife. I could not have done that at 21. So shout out to women who can do that. I think for me, I wasn't mature enough. I didn't have the understanding. I didn't heal. Like, I went to therapy prior to getting married. I had a lot of daddy issues to work out. I had a lot of things to work out within myself. So I think it goes to, are you ready for what you really want? Because we see the glamorous side of marriage. We see the vacations and the beautiful pictures and the birth announcements, and all of that is beautiful. But that's about 20% of what goes into dealing with somebody every single day.
I would say 10%.
I would say 10% as well.
Just growing up, and, you know, that's one thing. I've always known that I wanted to be married, you know. Mm-hmm. I would say, like, pretty early on, Same. Like early 20s. But I will say, with my last relationship, when we were talking about marriage, it was a little scary for me. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. It's like you want it and that's what something that you work towards. But when it's almost there, you'd be like, oh, wait, like, do I actually really want to be a wife? Because, you know, marriage is not all we cute and now we can finally have sex and now we can like that. Like, I'm telling you, that's just watching my mom be a wife, watching my stepmom be a wife, just watching all the wives in my life. I'm just like, marriage looks like an you know how us Christians, we have to wake up every day and die to ourselves so that we can glorify God.
That's
being
exactly
a wife is like every day waking up and dying to yourself. Yeah. Your kids and your husband are like before you.
They're a priority,
and I'm just like, do I want to put everything that I'm doing on the back burner for my husband if that came to it? And I'm just like, dang, am I ready for that yet?
And I don't, I think with the right person, you won't have to. I haven't had to stop any of my content creating. I haven't stopped using my voice. My husband is not intimidated by me having a voice and an opinion. I think with the right person, and this is your purpose, he's going to champion that.
Yeah.
So, and I don't think that women or wives should put themselves last, but I think it's just about the priorities of the day. Like, I'm going to give birth in a few months. So there's going to be a season in my life where that baby is going to come before me and my husband's need to sleep. Mm-hmm. You know, there's going to be a season where maybe your husband needs you more in prayer at a certain time, or, I think it's give and take and just understanding that marriage has seasons.
Yeah.
And are you okay with sacrificing? You shouldn't have to sacrifice for the detriment of yourself, like to where you're nothing and you don't have anything. And you're like, I think when women see women who suffer, I personally think they just married the wrong person, to be honest.
Yeah.
But there is a level of sacrifice that comes along with being a wife and being married and being a mother, you know? So if you're not ready for that, there's nothing wrong with being like, one day, but not today.
Yeah.
I think
so. Before you married your husband and before you guys courted, I guess, before the engagement and everything, what was your view of dating? Were you a girlfriend before? Did you always do it God's way, or was it something to where you were just like, okay, now I'm going to do it this way?
Girl.
And was it something different before?
I did all the wrong things. Let me tell you, I was in the world. I was lukewarm. I did everything wrong. You know, I've had boyfriends. I was not a virgin when I got married, and somebody gonna be like, oh, that's so net. Whatever. I was an adult.
Yeah.
I actually lived with somebody prior to, 2 years prior to meeting my husband.
Wow.
So I did all the wrong things.
Yeah.
The only thing I didn't do by the grace of God was have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I got to a point, and I was about 32, and I was happy. I had money. I was living my life, traveling, selfish, all the things, had a dog, I was good. But I got to a point where I was just like, I want to get married. I'm starting to have the desire. I'm starting to take it more serious, but nobody I'm meeting is taking me serious enough to be married.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's asking me. They might talk about it. They might entertain. They were good guys. Like, people think, everybody ain't dating a Pookie and a Ray Ray. I didn't date Pookie and Ray Ray.
Yeah.
I had corporate men, lawyers, like, we ain't gonna go there, but I had professional men. So it wasn't that I was getting low grade, low level, no good guys. But for whatever reason, I wasn't attracting men who were serious and wanted to take that next step.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to do a self-evaluation. And I said, what am I doing? This is where a lot of people don't want to do the work. What am I doing to attract the same type of person? I was getting same age, same mentality, same space, right?
Yeah.
They were like good, but they weren't ready.
Yeah.
And so once I healed, I stopped dating for a while. This was 2 years prior to my husband. So yes, our courtship was short, but I did a lot of work prior to meeting my husband.
Yeah.
So I took a step back. I got a life coach, a shout out to Spicy Mari, a relationship coach. I went to therapy. And in the midst of that, I had no idea how much work I needed to do on myself.
Mm.
I had no idea how hurt I was, how the daddy issues I had, the abandonment issues I had. I was one of those strong, independent, I don't need no man, but I want one.
Yeah.
And not understanding how that played in my nonverbal cues, the things I would say, the men that I would attract, and even just my interaction with men, I didn't understand them.
Yeah.
So once I did the work, I undid all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I healed. Then I started attracting different.
Okay. I love what you said a little earlier about the guys that you were dating. They were good, but they weren't ready. Because recently I had a little story time go viral on TikTok, child.
I know how that goes,
I'm not going to go there.
Yeah.
It's a blessing and a curse going viral, because when I speak, I'm always speaking to the girls. I'm never speaking to the boys. I'm never speaking to them. I'm never speaking to the incels. I'm always speaking to the girls and the women. And they love to chime in. Yeah. So I had a story time go viral about my most recent ex, how he was a really good guy. Treated mm-hmm. me well. Raised my standard for dating. But that was not my husband, period. It mm-hmm. wasn't my husband. And people were really confused because they were saying, well, if he was a good guy, he treated you well and he raised your standard, what's wrong? But it's just like, there is a big difference between a good guy and a husband. A huge difference. Mm-hmm. And if I told people, first of all, I'm not going to tell nobody my business on the internet anyway.
Yeah.
Like, you're not getting the specific details out of me.
Yeah.
But even just surface level, if the compatibility, the spirituality, our walks with God, what we want in the future, how we want to have a family, if those things don't align, who cares how good he is?
Yeah.
Because that's not my husband.
Exactly.
He's somebody else's husband if he chooses to get married. But people were really confused on that. And I'm just like, how is that a difficult concept? I date good guys. Like, yeah. I'm always going to date a guy that buys me flowers and open my door. That's base level.
Yeah.
But a good guy and a husband is very different. So I'm very glad that you said that.
Yeah.
Because it seems that that was your experience as well.
Absolutely. And every good guy is, like you said, it's not for you.
Yeah.
You might be an amazing woman. Every man is not going to see that. Every man is not going to want that at the same time. And our value doesn't come from how a guy or a man sees us. Our value comes from ourselves and God. That's where our value comes, and everything else is extra. Mm-hmm. There won't be but a handful of men who truly see your value and truly think of you as a wife, and that is okay.
Yeah.
You're going to meet hundreds of men. Every man is not going to be like, you're my wife.
Yeah, exactly.
They might be like, oh, you bomb, you fly, you look good, I stand, you know, whatever, but every man is not going to see you as his wife, and that is okay.
Definitely. And mm-hmm. the only way that you weed through those men and that you know, okay, which man is valuing me and which man just wants me, are by your standards. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Your standards and your boundaries are the only things that are going to separate who you should be around versus who needs to,
exactly.
you know, kick rocks.
Absolutely.
So I just wanted to ask also, and I kind of already get a good understanding, but just for the audience,
mm-hmm.
the no sex before marriage,
mm-hmm.
was that a consensus that you and your husband both came to together? Was that a discussion, or was that just like, we both know that's not what's going on?
It was definitely a discussion, because you can meet somebody in church and, you know, Christians, I love us, but everybody ain't on the walk at the same time.
Yes.
But it was definitely something we discussed very early on, because I was taking my walk super serious. So before, like I said, I was lukewarm. So I loved God. I went to church, but I was not following everything. And that didn't even just mean with sex. I was smoking. I was drinking. I was entertaining social circles and environments that weren't what I knew was truly right.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to grow out of that. I had to mature out of that. And I had to get to a place where I went on a fast and I cut everything. And God really showed up in my life and really worked from the inside out to where I didn't want to do those things anymore.
Yeah.
So when I met my husband, it was kind of like, I think we were both on the same page, because we were both trying to, because you could say you want to be celibate. Sometimes you will fall. Sometimes you will do the wrong thing. But we were both on the same page of what we wanted. We had strict boundaries. Like, we didn't stay, you know, at a certain point, we didn't stay at each other's houses. We tried to do it so by the book, because at the end of the day, if you've had sex before, you're a human being.
Yeah.
You're going to have the urges. You're going to have the wants, the desires. You start kissing a little too much. It's going to happen. But it's by being an adult, being mature, and not putting yourself in a situation where you can slip.
Definitely.
And also, I do tell women, you know, with the right man, he a Christian man, he ain't going to wait too long. So he going to get you to that altar.
Okay, yes. So do you feel like the no sex before marriage, do you feel like that was something, not specifically for you,
mm-hmm.
but do you feel like that's a motivating factor for Christian men?
Absolutely.
Like, okay.
Absolutely. And it's not, and again, we're doing it to honor God and honor our walks, but they're men. So, and I say that often, and people are like, well, men just married for sex, or men need incentives. The reason why a lot of our men aren't getting married anymore is because there are no incentives for them to get married
at all.
We're giving them children. We're living with them. We're being their living girlfriends. We're cooking, cleaning. We're doing everything prior to marriage. So if you're giving men the wife package in the girlfriend stage, why should he upgrade your package?
Exactly.
Unless he desires marriage.
Yeah.
But if you're giving most men, that's why a lot of people get stuck in that. It's not that he doesn't love that woman. It's not that he doesn't, you know, see his future with that woman. But since we didn't require it, it doesn't become a thing.
Definitely.
And I already know people are going to take this and flip it. But yeah, it's definitely,
it's the truth. Human nature is that we want things at a discount.
But that's like how it used to be, though. It used to be women waited so that men, like this long courtship, living together, being together for 3, 4, 5 years, it's that's so new.
Unnecessary.
That's very new from like the 19. And when I did my research, before the 1940s, people did not date. They courted and they got married.
Mm-hmm.
It's only like become from the 1960s and the 1970s and 80s have people started this whole dating thing. That wasn't a thing before.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it doesn't benefit, like when you think about it, there is no party that gets benefited. There, like the woman does not benefit because at some point she feels at there is, I don't think there's a live-in girlfriend that would hear this right now that if she's being honest with herself would not say, I feel taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're going to feel taken advantage of by a man who you are doing everything for. And when you live with a man, you do everything for him. Let's not get it twisted. It starts with little stuff like you cooking and then you start doing his laundry and then you start reminding him, oh, you got this, like you become his mommy, his wife. Like everything. So, you know, if they're being honest, there's a sense of you feeling like you're being taken advantage of, definitely.
And even if they don't in the beginning, eventually it gets old.
Yes.
I've done it. It gets old because you're starting to play a role that you didn't initially sign up for. And that's why I always advocate for my girls is like, I get it's old school. I get a lot of men will not be, there will be men that will tell you, no, they're not for you.
Yeah.
But there does come a level of respect and reverence. And you can change your mind at any time. Like, I share my story, not because I'm better, not because I'm just this, oh my gosh, best Christian walking. No, God has graced me with this life. But I do know that I did it the wrong way and I did it the right way. And the wrong way does not work. It doesn't benefit women. The men get the upper hand when you are their wives prior to marriage. When you're giving a man a wife package on girlfriend level, I always say work at your pay grade. You're a girlfriend, it's not your job to cook and clean. Right. Now, if you want to cook and you give him a plate, cool. If you want to, you know, but you come over his house, that ain't your house to clean.
Yeah.
You let him clean that or his mama.
Definitely.
Ain't your house.
So what you were saying before about, you know, when we talk about the sex and the men and everything like that, and you were saying, you know, Christian men, you know, sometimes lukewarm and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like true men of God are hard to come by?
Everybody's walk is different and everybody's at a different stage. So I don't want to say that men of God are hard to come by. A man who's truly disciplined in what he's doing in any walk, you could be a Christian, Muslim, whatever, it doesn't matter. I think that a man truly trying to honor God is rare, but you get what you if you are that, you will attract that.
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer. And everybody's at different levels. So, and I don't like ever sharing my timeline because I don't want people to be like, well, she did it in this time. So I could, because you might be, God might have you single for 3, 4, 5, 10 years.
Yeah.
I don't know everybody's path. So I wouldn't say it's hard to come by. I think whatever is meant for you, if you're ready and you've done the work and it's supposed to happen, then it will happen.
Definitely.
But you can mess up your blessing for sure.
Yeah. I think that I've just seen this trend. And I will say, because I've gone to, you know, I grew up in a mixed church, but it was, you know, very white. And I've gone to Black churches and everything. And I will say that I definitely see a trend in Black churches to where, you know, people show up and it looks good, you know, and these men call themselves Christian and they will, you know, put it on their social media, man of God and everything like that. And then you go on a first date and they ask you about threesomes. Like it's happened to me. So I really, I'm just going to be honest. I see it a little bit more with the Black Christian men.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really discouraging sometimes when you are a woman, a Christian woman, and you're trying to not find your partner, because it's not our job to find a partner.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're in that season of your life and you are trying to date within your church, you know, just make sure. And then even the men in the church aren't doing it right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've gone on, well, I didn't go on the date, but I've met, you know, guys out and they're just like, oh, I go to this church. Or I even met a guy that said he was a pastor. And then we're on the phone and he's trying to get me to come over to Netflix and chill. And I'm just like, see, this is why, like, when, you know, I just recently came back into my walk with God, 100%. Mm-hmm. This is new for me.
Yeah.
It's been the past few months, ever since I broke up with my boyfriend, and that was about 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
But even before, the breakup was really because God was transforming me and I couldn't take that relationship anymore, to be honest. But, you know, so I spent several years, you know, I used to work in the clubs as a bottle girl. I spent several years being 100% worldly.
Yeah.
But one thing I will say is that when I was out in the world, I never talked to people about God. I did not tell them I was a Christian. Because number one, you tell people you're a Christian and you're doing the same thing as them, they'll either take it one of two ways, I feel like. Mm-hmm. They'll say, oh, you know, this is why I don't go to church. These people, you know, they're hypocrites. They be talking, you know, go to church and then they drinking like me. They'll either say that or they'll say, oh, you know, there's a Christian next to me. So what I'm doing isn't so bad. Like, this is a good representation. It makes me feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And neither one of those things are bringing people to Christ, you know. So when I was out in the world, I would never tell people that I was a Christian because I didn't want to give God a bad rep.
Mm.
And I don't know, either way, that's just me personally.
Yeah.
So, you know, I really hate that it seems like there is a big chunk of men that will be in the church and tell you that they're a man of God, but they're not waiting before marriage to have sex.
Right.
That's the one thing. If they are good on everything else, that's the one thing that they're just like, yeah, I'm a man of God, but we still gonna have sex. And it's just like, come on, bro. Like, just, I'd rather you just not say nothing.
Yeah.
You don't got to tell nobody that you a man of God because you ain't acting like it.
Yeah. I get you. I just always encourage women that all you need is one. You just need one husband. Everybody is not going to fit the bill. Because I could say the same thing about women in church. Like, I'll see women of God, but then I'll see pictures on the sink.
Yeah.
Or I'll see a lot of, you know. So, I say you just need one, and you just got to test the spirit by the spirit. Like, if a man is saying he's a man of God and he's supposed to be doing something, especially a preacher, he's going to be judged at a higher level according to God, right? So if he's not walking, if he doesn't understand the basic fundamentals of what God is telling us to do, then you just know this isn't a man I need to spend too much time getting to know. It's up to us as women to eliminate.
Yeah.
You're just like, slow to hire, quick to fire. Shout out to Shoemate Sway. He's a creator as well, a Christian creator. He always says that slow to hire, quick to fire. Just as soon as you see that this man is not operating the way we know that men of God are supposed to operate, doesn't matter where you meet him, just cut him off.
Yeah.
Like, let him go. And the more you eliminate, the closer you're getting to your person. It's just going to take time. In the meantime, I always tell women, enjoy your life. Don't sit around waiting to be presented to a man. Like, get out there, get some hobbies, have fun, be in your purpose, have your career, live your life. You have friends, you should have hobbies. You should be enjoying your life so much with you and God that when you do meet him, it's just like, oh, thank you. It's like an extra.
It's an addition.
It's an addition
not
to
a
your
requirement.
Life.
Exactly. Definitely. One thing that you said in your YouTube video when you were with your husband that I recently myself just really came to understand is you were talking about how the idea of soulmates is not a real thing. And I really have just recently, because growing up my whole life, I really kind of thought that soulmates were real.
Mm-hmm.
That when God made you, he made your other half. I really used to believe that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I recently came to understand that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, because not all of us are called to marriage. That's first of all. Second of all, also because if there is some other person out there that's going to complete me, that means on some level, it's my mission to find that person.
Yeah.
And as a woman, that's never our mission.
Yeah.
The Bible never says that a woman that finds a husband found a good thing.
Nope.
That's not biblical at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw this recent podcast clip on TikTok. I think it was some kind of Christian, you know, women talking. And she was saying how she feels that women should be a motivating factor in a man's life with his relationship with God. And I was just like, that's totally not true.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that it's our purpose to come in and try to change a worldly man to a Christian, a godly man. That women do it, though. They do it. They feel like they can change somebody.
Yeah.
But I always tell people, I'm not in the business of changing nobody because I'm not Jesus Christ.
No.
Period. And so I really want to get your perspective on that, because I think that a lot of women think that, oh, I can come into his life and I can show him God and he'll come to God through me.
No. I always go biblical, right? Because I hear even Christian women give that advice. Like, oh, he doesn't have to be in the church. The Bible says God gave us strict instructions. Do not be unequally yoked. And when we try to do things our way, because y'all, a long time, did it my way. When we try to do things our way, that's when we mess up. God already gave us the cheat code. He already gave us the instructions. So I think that you hustle backwards, praying that this man does it. And if a man is only coming to God or only going to church or only getting closer praying because of you, what happens when you're not strong?
Mm-hmm.
Like, one thing that is so attractive about my husband is no matter how I move, how I walk, what I'm doing, he will still be like, hey, Britt, that's really not godly, or you shouldn't be doing that. Or he focuses on his time with God, because when we die, we're not going to the Lord together. Mm-hmm. We're going to be in front of Jesus Christ by ourselves. So there's only so much you can do. And in the days that maybe you're an what do I want to say? You're not a perfect person. So your husband's going to not go to church because of you. He's not going to pray. He's not going to stand in the fight. Like, God forbid, you know, in my pregnancy, I had a medical emergency. My husband prayed over me. It can't just be the woman all the time. And yeah. You don't want that. You want to, your husband is the head of the house because he's led by God.
Yeah.
If he's not being led by God, who's leading him? Himself, his ego, yeah. The Bible already told us don't lean on our own understanding.
Yeah.
So I'll go back to your point. They're rare, but I think that they're just as rare as a good woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So if you're out there, then that means that man is out there as well.
Yeah,
they're
definitely.
Just not every single man. But I hope I answered your question.
No, you definitely did. Yeah, it's definitely not the woman's responsibility to lead anyone to Christ. Invite them to church, girl. Make that your brother in Christ, and that's it.
And like, separately,
yeah.
Like definitely. I don't believe in dating in the church, because church communities can be very small, and people do claim people. Sorry, prior to them even doing anything. You know, church folks, oh, she used to talk to him.
Yeah.
Me and my husband met each other. We went to separate churches. We just happened to meet at my church, but he wasn't an attendee of my church. And even when we would go to each other's churches, we would visit separately. We didn't start sitting together until we knew, okay, we're about to get married. We're together type of vibe. But yeah. No, I don't recommend dating in church. He should be your brother in Christ until he's like, hey, I think you my wife. And then you guys court and get to know each other accordingly. But I don't be liking all that.
Yeah, definitely. It sounds very messy.
Yes.
Because you know church folks can be messy too.
It's very.
Like, you know, like they ain't no, perfect. Fact. They can be messy too.
Facts.
So I think we already kind of covered it in the beginning. But when I was saying for me, I've always kind of known that I want to be married. Was that the same thing for you? Always know that? Okay.
As a little girl, I've always wanted to be a wife and a mother. I didn't know when that was going to be. I thought it was going to happen way sooner. We all think that it's going to happen in our 20s and things like that.
23.
Yeah, 23, 24. And then you get 25, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm not ready. Or you hit 30. I don't think just because you hit 30 means it's time for you to be a wife or a mother. And I get it. Everybody, you know, it's harder to get pregnant, all this stuff. I got pregnant like that right after marriage. So let God do his thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that there's a specific age or time. I think it just, when it's meant, if you're doing the work, because you can fumble your blessing. I don't believe that what's meant for you, that God ain't nothing to get. No, you can mess up your blessing if you are not ready, if you don't prepare.
You can definitely delay your purpose.
Exactly. Yeah. So I just think that I think you know. Like you'll get tired of being by yourself.
Yeah.
You'll get tired of the world revolving around you. That's kind of, I got to that point, I want to say 33. I was like, okay, I've been doing me for so long, like I'm over this. I'm okay with taking care of somebody else. I'm okay with not being selfish. I'm okay with, you know, it's not my time. It's I want to take care of somebody else.
Yeah.
So you'll get to a point where being about you anymore isn't really,
like, you
fun.
Feel fulfilled with you living by yourself for 33 years, and now it's like, okay.
I did everything single. Travel, movies, dinner, name it, I did it single. I had a good time, but I was over it. I was like, okay, I'm ready now.
Yeah. So going back to what we were saying before, how not everyone's called to marriage, and you saying that you always wanted to be married, what if God didn't call you to marriage? Would that have been something that was kind of like, you know, a point of contention? Like, do you feel like if God didn't call you to marriage, you would have been disappointed?
Of course. I think, I've had that conversation with God. I was like, God, if I'm not meant to be a wife, just tell me so I can get over this and move on. Mm-hmm. Felt that way about being a mother. I was getting older. I was like, hey, if it ain't my, take the desire from my heart. I don't want it. But I would have just continued to live. I would have continued to do whatever God has called me to do, because just because we want something doesn't mean it's for us. Like you said, everybody's not called to wifehood. Mm-hmm. Everybody's not called to motherhood. So I think that if it wouldn't have happened, I would have been disappointed, of course. But am I supposed to not live and have a great life because I don't have that one thing that I desired? Yeah. So I think I'd have been very disappointed, a little heartbroken, but I would have been okay.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know. Didn't work out like
that. I know. I was going to say, like, it's easy for you to say that because it's not how it worked out. But I really feel like a lot of women, especially in the church, kind of glorify marriage and put it, you know, right up there with their relationship with God. Like, they kind of bargaining with God, like, please, God. Like,
can I say this? Yeah. I think that was one thing that God revealed to me after I did this. I got delivered. I didn't talk about deliverance. Deliverance is very important when you're a single woman, especially when you're healed from childhood trauma. I got delivered. And then I put marriage at the altar because I wanted to be married very bad. Mm-hmm. I put it to the altar. And what that means is I gave it up as a sacrifice to God. It's kind of like when Abraham took Jacob and sacrificed his son, or was going to sacrifice his son. I think some of us don't have our husbands because God knows that if he gives them to us too soon, we're going to put our husbands before God.
Yes.
And we're going to idolize marriage and God and family. God does not want anything to be an idol above him. Mm-hmm. So I did that. And I felt like God told me, now you're ready. Because if I would have gave you him prior to you doing this, you would have loved him more than you love me.
Yeah. And that's a very real concept. And mm-hmm. we do it pretty often. We do it with our careers, mm-hmm. With our children.
Money.
Money, definitely. And that's why a lot of us are not, you know, I'm not pocket watching nobody. But I think for me, God has revealed recently that I put what I'm doing with my podcast and my social media and everything, he revealed recently that I put that before him. He basically just revealed to me that my job was ahead of him. Like, I was so focused on, oh, Imani, you know, the girls like Imani, like, you know, they like when I talk and everything. And then he was just like, okay, well, if you don't have that, what's going on? Like, what's going on between me and you? And it took me a while to realize, like, you know, because I was fasting before Easter. And I was fasting from social media a little bit. I still had to do my job and post stuff and everything, but I was fasting from scrolling, fasting from alcohol. And it really got revealed to me that one thing I was praying for was patience. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I lacked a love for people and I lacked patience, wow. Just to be completely honest. And I always hated that about myself because I want things like, right, like in traffic, I'm cussing people out, you know, in my head, like that's there. Me. So as I was praying for patience and as, you know, these things were happening with my social media, I was really, God revealed to me, like, you know, you were praying for patience and the testing of your faith does produce patience. So it revealed to me, like, you know, when you pray and you ask God for things, he will give it to you, but it's not like him flipping a wand, like, oh, you asked for patience, here's your patience. He's going to test you. Mm-hmm. There's going to be things in your life that produces what you're asking for. And when I realized that, I was just like, oh my God, God is giving me some patience. Like, I was just like, it's just so crazy the way that, you know, what's going on in our lives produces different things for us. Because for me, it was like, God, like, I want to love people like you love people. Give me patience with people, you know, like, I don't want to cuss nobody out this week. Like, give me patience. And through my social media, through that, you know, that clip that went viral and everybody was coming for me talking about something, he was a good man and you still left him. I was just like, wow. Like, I really realized I was putting my social media before God. Mm. And now that people aren't liking me this week, you know, is my relationship with God still the number one thing? Like, he revealed to me, like, I can take this away, girl.
Right.
I can take this away. One, you could say one because we see it so often on social media.
Yeah.
People will love you one day. You say one wrong thing and they all over you. So he was just like, if I take this away, girl, you know, don't make me take it away because I will.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, I really need to put God before all these things. And that's a big motivator for me as to why I really kind of switched my content around, because I don't know if you really saw a lot of what I was doing before, but it definitely... The content, even though I'll say I wasn't wrong.
No.
I didn't say nothing wrong. No. I didn't say not one thing wrong. No. But it's the way you say it. And it was definitely not out of love. Mm-hmm. It definitely caused a lot of divisiveness and contention between men and women. And I wanted it to be to where all that stuff, it causes, you know, it's good conversations. And, you know, people learn things. Mm-hmm. But if they aren't learning about God, then they're really learning about nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm talking about relationships and I'm not talking about God, what are their relationships about, you know? Yeah. And so I recently came into that. And when Christy sent me your profile and she was like, oh, like, you know, my homegirl, Brittany, like, you know, she'll be great. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like the perfect person to like start off this new season. Because I feel like what you were doing, that's what I want to do from now on.
Girl, I'm not perfect. I'd be working
definitely. But, you know, it's a good example. And thank I think you. That people need to see more good examples on larger platforms because we see so much of the opposite get praised. Baby mamas, you know, get posted and everything. And honestly, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. And I don't want people to see that anymore.
Right. And yeah. And I want to, because I often speak about that too. It's never a contention of single mothers, right? Because we know that single mothers all the time don't do that on purpose or whatever. But I do want to change the narrative in our community that babies are created. we can be in a space where that doesn't happen. We don't have to set ourselves, we can't be so nonchalant and just be like, well, things happen. No, we lay down with these men. We give them children.
They were conscious decisions.
They're conscious decisions, regardless if you meant for the outcome or not. And when we can take back that power and say, no, I'm not going to do this with you, or no, you're not my husband, or no, you don't deserve this, because you don't. The only man that deserves your body is your husband. So I don't care if 50 million people or 50 men or rest in peace, KS tells you that if you had sex before, if you had kids before, that why should any man wait? The right man will. And if you have to die on that hill to honor God, then it is what it is. God told us, don't do this.
Yeah.
It's not about a man.
Yeah.
And men on the internet, child.
They don't count.
No, it's the man sitting across from you. And if that man is not honoring God, you don't want to follow that man anyway.
Definitely.
A man of God, regardless of your past, and that's going to be up to the man, but he's going to see, okay, she's trying to make it change. She's trying to do the right thing. He's going to want a woman who's going to honor God.
Oh, definitely.
So,
and I love that you were saying, you know, I just want to say this to the women. There's nothing that you were doing in the past that you can't stop and change tomorrow.
Absolutely.
I don't care if you were just doing it an hour ago. If God has changed you in this second, you can always change and do better. Don't let nobody tell you,
yeah,
oh, you, what you talking about? You was just in the clubs working as a bottle girl last year. I don't care. Because
yeah.
God is using that as my testimony to bring other people up from that.
Absolutely.
So it doesn't matter what you was doing yesterday, girl. You can always do better. Don't let nobody tell you, you know, these men be bald headed and ugly anyway. Like, why are you even listening to them? They do. And you know, when you said KS, I was like, who's KS? And then it dawned on me,
mm-hmm.
child, you see how he passed away. You know, I mean, we ain't going to talk
Lord
about it, but
soul.
Let you know. So why you don't listen to them? Listen to us. You can always change for the better. Brittany, just I want you to just give the girls one piece of advice to close out this episode. What do you want them to know about the correct way to date, finding a man, not finding a man,
yeah.
but your husband being revealed to you, you know, anything.
Lord, give me some words. I want to say, don't worry about a man being your meal ticket. I know that that's going around a lot. There's a lot of culture where there's a lot of transactions going on. It's okay to be independent financially while you're single so that when it is time for you to get married, you're not relying on a random man or an ex-boyfriend or whatever or somebody's grandfather to fund your life. I worked very hard. Now I have a very soft life. Like, my husband is the breadwinner in our household. However, I'm retired. It is okay to work for the life that you want. It is okay to have jobs, like honest jobs. It is okay to not be the most glamorous girl or most poppin' or anything like that, to be your authentic self and to love yourself. And I want to just say, like, you don't have to sell yourself. You don't have to make bills your standard. You don't have to make trips and bags and things, material things that at the end of the day will not matter. And yes, bills are important. One of my little things went viral because people came for me about the bills. Bills are important. But if a man, if once you get into a space where your bills are no longer bills, they're just expenses, you're going to need more. You're going to want more. It is okay to make love a part of the aspect of marriage.
Yeah.
Is it the number one thing? No, of course. We're not crazy, right? But neither are finances. That's just a part of it. There's a business aspect to marriage. There's a love aspect to marriage. There's a godly aspect to marriage. And without God, all of it falls apart. So it is okay to take care of yourself, love yourself, and be by yourself until you feel that somebody is deserving of you being their wife and making all those sacrifices for you.
Yeah.
And it is okay not to give a man a child or your body, even if you've done it in the past, until he's your husband, because that's really the only man that deserves it.
Definitely.
Is your husband.
Yeah. In a world full of girls trying to be like Shira Seven, it's okay to still be a lover girl, sis. Don't try to copy nobody else, do you? All right. Thank you guys for watching. Brittany, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah.
Oh, I love this so much.
Thank you so much.
You guys will catch me next week on the next episode of Monty Talks Podcast. All right. Bye.
Bye.